Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 410. I'm Amy Matheny. And during the winter, I escaped the blizzard, prior to the blizzard here in Chicago and much of the Midwest, by spending some time in the enchanted land known as Santa Fe, New Mexico. And for those of you who are looking for a wonderful destination that includes both culture and the great outdoors, extraordinary food, and a GLBT-friendly environment, then there is no place domestically that can beat Santa Fe. It is really, really a gorgeous and special, if not enchanted, location. During today's show, I will sit down and talk with Keith Toller. He is the head of Santa Fe Tourism and Convention Center, and we talk about Santa Fe and its unique history and its unique offerings for those of us in the GLBT community looking for a wonderful place to travel. And also, I'm going to have lots of news today. There is so much going on in the GLBT world and national news, plus what is going on in the theater scene. Theaters are really starting to spring up as spring is a bloom. And a special feature about the art scene in Santa Fe with one of the local artists there that is a part of not only the culture, but also a part of the origins of that great, great land of Santa Fe. So thrilled to have you with me here today and thrilled to take you all the way to Santa Fe.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
In Colorado, the state Senate has passed a civil unions bill. The Colorado Civil Unions Act, which would give gays and lesbians power to make medical decisions for their partners and become eligible for insurance and retirement benefits, passed the Senate 23-12. However, the measure faces a major obstacle in the state House, which, unlike the Senate, is controlled by the Republican Party.
In California, U.S. District Judge Jeffrey White dismissed a lawsuit brought by Karen Golinsky, a lesbian federal employee who was seeking to obtain health insurance benefits for her spouse. The Obama administration has opposed the lawsuit, even after the Justice Department announced that DOMA was unconstitutional.
Apple has pulled an iTunes app created by anti-gay organization Exodus International. 150,000 people signed an internet petition asking the tech giant to remove the app.
Scientists are proposing another way to combat HIV, having items called therapeutic interfering particles, or TIPS, compete with the virus. The TIPS, which are bits of HIV's genetic code stripped down to one-third its original size, would ride HIV as it spreads from person to person, vying against the virus for cellular resources. The more successful the TIPS are, the slower the virus's progression becomes, possibly lowering infection rates.
Fort Worth, Texas is expected to pay $400,000 to Chad Gibson, who was seriously injured in a 2009 raid on the gay night spot's The Rainbow Lounge. The settlement is not considered an admission of the city's liability, but would avoid litigation. After the raid, three police officers were suspended and two agents and a supervisor with the state's liquor board were fired.
In Pennsylvania, 28-year-old John Joe Thomas has been charged with murder after stoning 70-year-old Murray Seidman to death after the victim allegedly made sexual advances to him. Thomas told authorities that he beat Seidman with a sock stuffed with rocks because he read in the Bible that gay people should be stoned to death. Seidman's brother has said that the victim was not gay, but was mentally challenged.
Chaz Bono will be the featured speaker at Howard Brown Health Center's Lifeline Celebration Friday, May 6th at the Chicago's Palmer House Hilton. Bono will visit Howard Brown Health Center's Sheridan Road Clinic earlier that day for an open house on LGBT health and will participate in a panel discussion.
In Kentucky, a member of the state's branch of the Masons faces a trial for being gay. John Wright came out to his fellow members in the Right Angle Lodge in Winchester and now is facing a Masonic trial. If found guilty, he could be punished with expulsion from the global fraternity. Last October, the Kentucky Masons rejected an attempt to change their constitution to ban openly gay members.
The family of Rutgers University freshman Tyler Clementi, who committed suicide last year after being recorded having sex with another man, wants to prosecute the victim's roommate, Darun Ravi. Ravi and classmate Molly Wee were charged with invasion of privacy and both have left the school. However, they have not yet been arraigned or indicted.
Student Jesse Cruz is suing Seton Hall University because officials allegedly removed him from his dorm room for being gay. Cruz moved into his assigned dorm room in Xavier Hall at the start of the school year with one roommate. However, the roommate reportedly complained to administrators that he did not want to live with Cruz because Cruz is gay. Cruz said he was told to leave his room. After getting a letter from Cruz's lawyer, school officials moved the roommate out and Cruz got his original room.
In Pennsylvania, Giovanni's Room, the country's oldest LGBT bookstore, was one of 13 sites that the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission recently approved for a historical market. The bookstore was founded in 1973.
In world news, in Thailand, the defense ministry has changed its terms for transgender men who would usually be exempt from military service. When the compulsory enlistment begins next month, Type 2 will describe men who have undergone breast enhancement surgery, and Type 3 will refer to people who have had gender reassignment surgery. Type 1 will describe men whose appearances are typical of men. Previously, transgender men had been exempted from service.
In England, Chariots, the United Kingdom's largest and friendliest gay men's sauna, has burned down. Six fire engines and approximately 30 firefighters were called to the London sauna. The cause of the fire is under investigation.
In the Netherlands, the Dutch Defense Ministry will participate in Amsterdam's Gay Pride Canal Parade for the first time ever. Gay and lesbian members of the Dutch Armed Forces will dress in uniform and will join the Saturday afternoon parade. The parade will take place on August 6th.
In the UK, a report from the Health Protection Agency shows that new diagnoses for people infected with HIV almost doubled over the past decade. Sexually active gay and bisexual men who have sex with men remain the group most at risk of becoming infected with new diagnoses in this group, increasing by 70% in the past 10 years.
In entertainment news, screen legend Elizabeth Taylor one of the most important early supporters in the fight against AIDS, has died of congestive heart failure. She was 79. She found stardom at the age of 12 with National Velvet. Taylor's notable movies as an adult included Father of the Bride, Giant, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and the two for which she won Best Actress Oscars, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and Butterfield 8. A passionate AIDS activist, her own Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation raised an estimated $50 million to fight the disease.
The fifth annual Tribeca ESPN Sports Film Festival will include the world premiere of Renee, a documentary exploring the story of Renee Richards, the first transgendered tennis player to compete in the Women's U.S. Open. Renee contains rare archival footage with close friends and family members, plus tennis legends Martina Navratilova, John McEnroe, and Billie Jean King.
Josh Flagg, one of the real estate agents on the Bravo show Million Dollar Listing, came out as gay in the March 22nd episode. Flagg also came out in his new book, Million Dollar Agent, Brokering the Dream.
Actress Kate Walsh, best known for Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice, said that she enjoyed playing a gruff, no-nonsense lesbian in the movie Angel's Crest. The film premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival.
The television premiere of Becoming Chaz, the story of Chaz Bono's transformation from a woman to a man, will launch the OWN documentary film club on Tuesday, May 10th, on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Immediately following the film, Rosie O'Donnell will host a primetime special talking with Chaz, his girlfriend, the filmmakers, and other transgendered people and their families about this life-changing experience.
The Trevor Project will honor actor Daniel Radcliffe with the Trevor Hero Award on June 27th in New York City. Radcliffe has been involved with the Trevor Project since 2009, appearing in public service announcements supporting LGBTQ youth.
Space Monkey Studios has announced the release of Adam Lambert's brand new Glam Nation Live CD/DVD. The recording was shot in Indianapolis last August.
Ellen DeGeneres will produce a movie adaptation of the best-selling book Sing You Home, written by Jodi Picoult. The story is about a woman who loses her husband after having a stillborn child, and the woman later develops a romantic relationship with a female guidance counselor. DeGeneres will team with Neil Marin and Craig Zaden to back the project.
Starz has confirmed that the fourth season of the sci-fi series Torchwood will premiere July 8th. The 10-part season will look at a global conspiracy in which no one is able to die. Openly gay actor John Barrowman will star as Captain Jack Harness. New cast members include Bill Pullman, Lauren Ambrose, and Mikai Pfeiffer.
Lanford Wilson, the openly gay Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright behind works such as Burn This, Lemon Sky, and 5th of July, died March 24th at the age of 73. Wilson was one of the founders of Off-Off-Broadway Theater and won the Pulitzer for Drama for Tally's Folly in 1980.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
All I gotta do is sit around and wait, and all I gotta do is not anticipate, and every word I said I should have taken back, and all I gotta do is get my brain on track, and I know why you're thinking.
Whenever you visit any city, you should probably stop by the Visitors Bureau and or a Visitors Center or a Welcome Center. It's a great way in which to gather information on all that a community has to offer. And, you know, I just feel so lucky that I get to sit down with the executive director of Santa Fe's Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's right here downtown in the heart of the city, and speak with Keith Toler, the executive director. Hey, Keith.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thanks for giving me a few minutes of your time to just talk about the land of enchantment. I have to tell you, it has definitely been enchanting for me to be here on many of my trips, and especially to feel for the first time like I actually am a part of it. When you're here for 30 days, you can really feel like it's yours, and you kind of get to claim a little bit of ownership. But for those people who have not been to Santa Fe, you know, give us just a little of what you think makes Santa Fe a special place for anyone to come and take a trip and explore.
I would say the first number one thing you'll notice is the scenic beauty here. This being surrounded by mountains, with the Sangre de Cristo Mountains on the to the east, and then you have the Jemez to the west and the Sandias to the south. So you have mountains on all sides of you. So that's the first thing, and it really encourages you to get outside, to explore nature, and you know, hopefully take advantage of the miles and miles and miles of trails that we have.
Yeah.
Santa Fe is a city that is surrounded by national forest, state forest, so there's a lot of open space. And the big sky, we're also known for big sky. You can just see forever. People come for the sunsets. I think that's another beautiful thing about the scenic qualities of Santa Fe. I noticed when you're watching the sunset, the name of the mountain, Sangre de Cristo, Blood of Christ, it's because in certain times of the year, the mountains turn red as the sunset.
Yes.
And so that's where they got their name. But so scenic beauty, I think, is important.
And it's the O'Keeffe country. I mean, Georgia O'Keeffe has somehow placed an international stamp on how beautiful the blue and the red, the browns of Santa Fe are.
Yes, she
two people. I mean,
she was such an amazing artist, and we were so fortunate that she decided to call Santa Fe and northern New Mexico her home.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually come to the George O'Keeffe Museum here in Santa Fe. You can take the drive out to Abiquiu and see where she lived.
Which I have done. It's not open in the winter. I just will let you all know.
Oh, no.
In a few months in the winter, but I did go to the back of the house. I have a picture of the back of the house.
Did you make it to Ghost Ranch?
I have not made it to Ghost Ranch. That's going to be my trip in June when I'm here with my family, with my parents. I'm going to take them to Ghost Ranch.
I had a chance to go out and hike where she painted the different formations, the Kitchen Mesa, the other places that she painted out in Ghost Ranch, and it's just beautiful down through the Box Canyon. So
yeah, well, those of people who are Facebook friends with me know that I went to the White Place for an afternoon with my dog, which also she painted, which is west of Abiquiu, right over the Chama River, and somebody just said, you know, have you been there? And I said, no. And they said, you should. You know, a lot of people, even local people here, don't even know where it is. And kind of said, you know, go online and find it. And here's a few tips that I'll give you. I overshot it, so I went through some huge national forest. But it is extraordinary. It is like a temple. And no wonder she painted it. And thank goodness she painted it for all of us to kind of get to experience. But if you can be there, oh.
It's a beautiful place.
So I'm excited. Sure. And I did see the Pedernal as well, which I know she said if she painted it enough, she'd hopefully get to own it, or God would give it to her.
I climbed the Pedernal once.
Did you?
Yes.
Do you recommend that?
Not for the faint of heart.
Not for people who don't pump enough blood to live at this height. But it is a great hiking and outdoors. And in the summer months, you know, there's rivers, there's all of that kind of very physical, or it doesn't have to be physical. Some of the places are just nice strolls, but
exactly.
Just in the middle of it all.
There's right here in the city limits, the city maintains a trail system. You've got the Dale Ball Trails and the Stewart Trails, I'm trying to think of her first name, but anyway, the Stewart Trails.
Uh-huh.
And the Stewart Trails were really designed more for people who are less active.
Yes.
And so it's not as challenging as some of the other trails. But the Dale Ball Trail system, I'm sure you've seen from your house, Atalaya.
Yep.
And climbing Atalaya is a 3-mile climb up,
yep.
And that is 2,000 foot elevation gain.
Yep.
So it's a good climb.
Yep.
But it's right here in the city limits.
Just,
it takes 2 minutes from the plaza to get there. So.
Yeah, I've definitely walked some trails, and also just, you know, I mean, the lovely thing is it's a great town for biking and just walking and getting around, even not in the main touristy areas, but in the neighborhoods, and easy to explore.
Very easy to explore.
Even though, who is it that said that how this city is designed, it was a drunk man drawing lines on a paper, or something, it's Gene Autry or something. It's definitely for those in Chicago or perhaps New York. It's not a grid system, but it always keeps it interesting as you're winding
learning and exploring through different areas.
You've probably found that you can navigate by the mountains. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I haven't really had to open a map. Once you know where the mountains are, you know which direction you're going.
Right. That's true. And in Chicago, that would be once you know where the lake is, you always know that's east. So if you head there far enough, you're gonna fall into it. Well, you know, what kind of tourist do you think you know, gets the most out of coming to Santa Fe?
Well, I think that anyone looking for rest and relaxation, we were just ranked number one by Travel and Leisure magazine as the number one city for rest and relaxation. You know, we have so many spas here with 10,000 waves. And
which is the most amazing Japanese spa up on a mountaintop.
It is just beautiful. And you know, Sunrise Springs on the southern end of the town, and some of the hotel spas are just
amazing.
Over the top.
Right.
So I think rest and relaxation is very important.
You can also go to the mud baths, but leaving out of your outskirts a little bit.
Ojo Caliente,
yes. Which is very historic and far more bohemian. But
yes, it's the only place that has the three different types of mineral springs into one, coming into one place.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one reason to come. People who are interested in history and culture and architecture, you know, people don't understand that Santa Fe is over 400 years old as a city, and our history really dates back to over 1,500 years with the native population that's been here, the Pueblo Indians who settled along the Santa Fe River, the agrarian culture, the artistic culture that evolved from their presence here 1,500 years ago.
Right.
If you go to 45 minutes from Santa Fe, you're at Bandelier National Park.
Which I've been to. Beautiful.
To see the Anasazi cave dwellings.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to see the history and culture that are here. So people who are interested in that, I think, would definitely like Santa Fe.
It's like the Athens of the U.S. to me. You know, Athens being Athens,
Greece.
Having just been to Greece a couple of years ago, you know, much of what you feel being in the area, the Acropolis, the Parthenon, is very much what I would not have known to equate because I went to Bandelier first. But it's almost the American experience of seeing that early dwellings and what archaeologists continue to discover about those early civilizations. So
it is, and all through that whole area outside of Bandelier Park, there's other cave dwellings.
Yeah.
You just have to know where to look. It's
like
the right place.
Next trip.
You have to
next
know where to
trip.
Look.
Keith's going to hook me up.
Yeah, but to be happy to take you out there.
So we're going to spend a whole segment after we do our theater and news here on our show talking about the arts and culture scene because it's really a passion of mine. But also, of course, our listeners are of the GLBT community and their allies who listen to our show around the world. Talk to me about the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and trans community here in Santa Fe, and is it welcoming for travelers in our community, and is it, what kind of community thrives here for them?
Well, the Advocate magazine just ranked us the second gayest city in America.
Woohoo!
So,
do you think that's because I was here for a month?
Probably. They had a formula that they used. Minneapolis was first, and Santa Fe was second.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we have one of the highest per capita concentrations of gay-led households in America.
Wow.
Santa Fe is very opening. We pride ourselves on diversity.
Yep.
The city of Santa Fe offers domestic partnership benefits. The state of New Mexico, I believe, offers domestic partnership benefits. You know, we like to say that our streets are narrow, but our minds are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that anywhere in that you go in Santa Fe. One of the things that sets us apart is that we really don't have the traditional gayborhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's gay, lesbian people are just integrated throughout the community in every neighborhood.
Right.
And they're welcomed in every establishment here.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a restaurant one time, and there was a gentleman sitting at the end of the bar. I won't say where he's from, but he was sitting at the end of the bar, and there were two guys sitting at a table holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman said to the bartender, "Are you going to allow that to happen here in Santa Fe? Are you going to let that happen here in this bar? I don't like it. I want you to to give them their check and get them out of here."
Mm-hmm.
And so the bartender went over, and I was new to Santa Fe at the time, and I thought, oh no. And the bartender went over, he rang up the check, he walked over to the guy who complained and said, "Here's your check, you can leave." And that is the attitude that I have found since that time.
Yeah.
That it's just open, and we we welcome all people here to Santa Fe.
Yeah, and I really experience a very open environment here. You know, my partner and I have been here a couple of times, and I just also, I think we're visible here. You know, maybe not in the most flashy of sense, but I would say in a way that feels like we've exhaled. And I love that you say that, you know, there are no designated gay zones. You know, I mean, we do. Obviously, major cities have those, but even now, those are almost, you know, yes, where we come together, but we live everywhere. And, but I really feel that an integration here, and that it really doesn't matter at all.
I don't think it does. And I think that we didn't mention Rainbow Vision, but Rainbow Vision is very important to the gay lesbian community here. It was the first, I don't want to call it a retirement community. I think they refer to it as
for the next 50 years.
The place to live for the next second 50 years of your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have them here, to have the nightclub there, to have the, you know, everything from just a general over 55 community to assisted living with their own spa.
Right.
It was just really nice to have that community choose Santa Fe as their first place to build.
Well, and we're going to be doing an entire show on Rainbow Vision with their CEO and president, Joy
Wonderful.
Silver. So I'm very excited to explore that, because that is a truly unique thing, and I'm sure something that, as we age, made you rank so high with the Advocate, is that looking to our futures and how we live and how we live healthfully. Really seems to be of significance, not only in Santa Fe in general, but also in this microcosm, in this community at Rainbow Vision.
Exactly. And, you know, you're talking about living healthfully. Outside Magazine is headquartered in Santa Fe and Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So you have that natural link there.
Yeah. Well, there's so many ways in which we're linked, the least of which is me.
Yeah.
But is there a best time of year to come to Santa Fe that you think, or different times of year would mean you would like to have a different kind of experience?
Different times of year means you're going to have a different experience. July and August is our busiest time of the year, where with opera season, chamber music festival, all of that is in full swing. All the summer markets take place, the International Folk Art Market, the Spanish Colonial Market, the Spanish Contemporary Market, and the Indian Market, and of course mm-hmm. SOFA mm-hmm. is here. Those fill up pretty much the summer months, all the performing arts. In the fall, you come to see the aspens change, you come for hiking, for outdoor recreation.
The balloons?
The balloons in October down in Albuquerque.
Talk about that. They do the hot air.
The hot air balloons. It's the largest hot air balloon festival in the world.
Wow.
They call it Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Every morning they have the mass ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, know, upwards of 700 balloons going up
right.
in the mornings. And
in the fall, I imagine the weather is really nice if you're an outdoors person, because it is very hot here in the summer when all that activity is going on.
It's,
it is warm.
Well, and, you know, because we're high desert mm-hmm. At 7,000 feet, you know, you'll get up in the 80s during the day, and the sun is so intense.
Yep.
But at night, the temperature drops down into the 60s, and so people are sitting by the fire.
Yeah.
So it's really any time of the year that you come is going to be nice. The winter time is ski. People love to come and do ski, whether you're doing downhill, you're doing cross-country skiing. I personally like to snowshoe,
mm-hmm.
and so I've done some great snowshoe expeditions around the area. So, you know, a lot of people I don't think realize that Santa Fe has a ski area, that we are ski. And the ski basin is about 20 minutes from the plaza.
Yeah, it's
so
very, very close.
Get there.
And it's very romantic here in the winter months. I mean, I've never been here for the holidays, I guess, between Thanksgiving and Christmas or New Year's. But it is very beautiful, and all of the candles, the farolitas.
Farolitos,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Which are little bags, I guess, with candles
yes.
in them.
Yes, you might refer to them as, some people refer to them as luminaria,
uh-huh.
but they're called farolitos, and they're sort of an amber-colored bag with candles in them,
uh-huh.
And that's how they all got started. And on Christmas Eve, they do the Farolito Walk up Canyon Road, which is really something to be seen. It's an incredible event. It's about 20,000 people that come to that on Christmas Eve.
Wow. And we should say it does snow here, because obviously you have skiing,
yes.
so it does snow here.
Does
some people
snow.
Think the desert, just know that there are some seasons. There are some seasons here.
We're at the southern tip of the Rocky Mountains, where it meets the Sonoran Desert. And so that's why you have this very unique climate in Santa Fe, because of the two that come together. So in the springtime, you can come and see desert in bloom, but at the same time, you might also get snowed on.
Right, exactly. So. Could have the best of all worlds in, exactly. 24 hours. Well, I hope people will realize that Santa Fe is a great destination. And what I can tell you is that 12 months out of the year, one of my favorite things to do in this town is eat. And thank God you get to walk a lot, because you don't feel guilty about it at all. It is the one place I come to, because even in Manhattan, walking around New York, you do not feel like you get the kind of walking I mean, I don't know if it's cardio, but you feel like you've used up everything you've eaten in a day, which I love. Right. But it is truly a culinary and gourmet capital for the U.S. of amazing food. And the experience of the red chili and the green chili.
That's the official state question, red or green?
Yeah, I'm pretty much a red and green girl.
I like them both too, depends on what I'm eating.
Yeah, exactly. But so many fantastic restaurants all over. And once again, you can spend, $5. While I was here, I had one of the burgers you're supposed to have before you're on your bucket list, the Bobcat Bite
green chili burger.
Yes, I did have the green chili burger. I just went for what's the staple. And you can also have extremely upscale fine dining and romantic experiences.
We
that
have
way.
Probably 5 James Beard Award winners here in Santa Fe, either for restaurant or for chef. Mm-hmm. And Pasquale's, there's a line waiting to get
my
into Pasquale's.
Restaurant.
Is it?
It's my favorite.
It's a very good one.
I have to eat there a few times a week.
The compound.
I sat at the community table. What's great about the Pasquale's is you can sit at a table where, if you're solo, which I have been this trip, you can sit and you can talk to people. It's just a big table where, everybody can take a seat. And I spoke with one gentleman. He's the one who told me about the burger. And he said, I said, where do you like to eat? And he said, well, I had 187 meals here last year, so I guess this is where I like to eat, but it does have a changing menu.
One of the things fun about the community table at Pasquale's, a friend of mine was eating there, I guess it would have been about 6 or 8 months ago, mm-hmm. and was sitting at the community table, and in walked Penelope Cruz and sat at the community table.
Too bad she did not walk in when I was there. It's true. And my partner has given me one assignment, which I'm going to ask you off air to give me the answer if you know, but she kept saying, please tell me you're going to see Ally McGraw. Please tell me you're going to see Ally McGraw. And I'm 28 days and counting, and I have not seen Ally McGraw
yet. Do you do yoga?
I should.
She's an incredible yoga practitioner.
Okay, well then you're going to help me hook that up.
I can tell you where she does yoga.
You'll help me hook that up.
She is such a great asset to this community.
Yeah. Though.
She really lends her name to all of the nonprofits that are here and really helps to raise money and raise awareness for women's rights.
Well, and I think that, she's just another one of the amazing energies that has come out and laid claim. And I feel like people do come here and lay claim to this place. It feels very personal. And I hope that many of you will try a trip to Santa Fe. And if you haven't been in years, the area is really growing. It's expanding. It doesn't feel... some communities, when they grow, you feel like it loses the best of itself. And it appears to me, and I've definitely asked a lot of people who have lived here for 10 plus years, the changes that they've seen. And it seems to be more growing outwardly. And in other communities, like the Rail Yard District and other areas heading to the south, or even, I guess, to the, would it be to the west?
To the west, towards the towards the Jemez.
Yeah, so it really does maintain kind of the integrity.
Well, Santa Fe has to expand out because we're prohibited from expanding up.
Oh,
if you notice, there are no skyscrapers in Santa Fe.
No, there are none.
There's a
maybe two or three stories. That's it.
Long-standing law that nothing can be higher than the cathedral.
Oh, is that St. Francis Cathedral?
St. Francis Cathedral.
Beautiful.
Which is also, the diocese here is over 400 years old.
Yeah.
And so they, that nothing can be built higher than that building. Now, there's a hotel that is a little higher than that building, but it's downhill.
So it doesn't appear to be.
But when you look throughout the entire city, nothing is higher than the cathedral.
Well, and we should say, you do mention yoga, but if you want to come here and still... take your yoga class, take your Pilates class, any kind of spiritual work is here. There is lots of, you know, not only, of course, churches and beautiful churches to go into, but there is also kind of a rich, I don't want to say new age, but let me just say spiritual community.
There's
here
a very strong spiritual community here. You know, there's a school of acupuncture here. Mm-hmm. We're finding that a lot of doctors, a lot of MDs are coming here because they're learning to expand their practice into more of a holistic approach.
Right.
And so we see a lot of doctors coming to go to the school of healing or the acupuncture school or.
And there's
those
a
kind
lot
of things.
Massage here as well.
Lots of massage.
So and there's a the
and all
Shure
different modalities.
Institute and, yes. So it is a place to come. Rest, relax, be open, be who you are, eat good food, see wonderful art, explore the countryside of brown and red and blue and breathe it all in. Because I have to tell you, the air here is just extraordinary.
We have some of the cleanest air in the country.
It's extraordinary. And I'm here with my hybrid, and I see a lot of hybrids here. So if you come here with your car, you might want to make it a hybrid.
Hybrid car would work just fine.
Keith, thanks so much for being with us. And if people are planning a trip, I know obviously your website is thesantafe.org.
Santafe.org has everything you need to plan your trip, including the ability to book your hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
We have links directly to the airlines, so you can book your airlines there. You can find out, you know, the calendar of events, when things are happening, so you can plan your trip that way and pick the site that you want. You can also follow us on Facebook, on Twitter.
Oh, good.
And then you can always pick up the phone and call one of our information specialists who will walk you through the entire process.
It's an amazing thing, and amazing place to come with a group of people, to come as a couple. And I can tell you, having been here alone, it is a very safe and comfortable place to be, even a single female in the city. So if it's someplace you want to go away and spa or retreat with yourself, it is a place that you will not feel lonely in doing that, but you will feel absolutely held in that kind of experience as well. Keith, thanks so much, and I hope everyone comes to see you in Santa Fe.
Thank you so much for having us and for coming to Santa Fe and spending time with us, and it's just been great to be on your show.
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning April 30th. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a 3-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Hello, guesting, 1, 2, is it on? Listen, this is Katie, and I want to tell you, if you're in Chicago, don't blow down the streets anymore. Come to my CD. I'm going to be on a show called Katie's Corner at a theater called Stage 773 in April, on April 3rd. Now, I'll tell you something. 773 is, of course, how old I am. 773 years old, which is why I decided to go to Stage 773. And also, I'm coming in April because that is, of course, Shelley Winter's birthday. And I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I remember being at Shelley Winter's birthday party once. I was standing by the door, and Pia Zadora walked up to me and kicked me in the shin. And I said, Pia, what'd you do that for? And she said, because it's April. Have a wonderful day, and don't forget to come and see me do something in my pants. Goodbye.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting. Join the club.
For the week of March 28th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Dixie Longgate, the fast-talking Tupperware lady, left her children in an Alabama trailer park and took off-Broadway by storm. Now, join Dixie's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago, filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous assortment of Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today Show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party, playing now through May 15th at the Royal George Theater. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Victory Gardens Theater presents Tree, a new play about two siblings divided by race who must face their shared roots and stitch together their family history from the fragile memories of an old woman. Tree is playing April 1st through May 1st. Visit victorygardens.org to purchase your tickets to Tree today.
Court Theater presents Sarah Rules Orlando, based on the novel by Virginia Woolf. Often called the longest love letter in literary history, Woolf's Orlando tells the story of an English nobleman, Orlando, who lives for hundreds of years before falling asleep and waking up as a woman. For tickets, visit courttheater.org. Don't miss Orlando, directed by Jessica Thebus, and running through April 10th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
So continuing our conversation on Santa Fe, as you know, all of you know, I am a huge arts and culture lover. So for me to be in a really ideal vacation spot to invigorate and excite me and expand my experience of what that community's voice is, I have to look at the art and culture scene to see what's going on. And nowhere is that more vibrant in the United States than Santa Fe. I mean, I think many people would call it a New York of the West. And so we're continuing our conversation with Keith, who, of course, knowing all the visitors who pass through his facility here, always, I'm sure, telling them the various offerings going on, but also just, you know, it's Santa Fe and it has kind of a small town mentality, which is fantastic too, and so much community. I'm so excited that I'm getting to meet Justin Nadir from Juan City Flamenco Theater Company, and just to kind of really get a more focused perspective on what it's like to be an artist here in the Santa Fe community. So thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So Keith, let me just start broadly. Like, this is a really rich arts and culture community here in Santa Fe.
Santa Fe is the third largest art market in the country for visual arts behind New York and San Francisco.
Right.
And so if you look at those major metropolitan areas and our population of 75,000, it really says a lot for the art scene here. For a community of 75,000 people to be able to support over 200 art galleries, really says a lot about the visual arts here. But of course, we're rich in the performing arts as well, too. Santa Fe has probably the premier summer opera program anywhere in the country.
Right.
Definitely the
And Santa Fe Opera, of course, is just one of the greatest companies in the world.
Exactly.
For opera.
And to see an opera there is just beautiful. To sit in a covered area but looking at the sunset over the Jemez Mountains as the opera comes up, it's just
it's an outdoor experience.
Yes, and people wear jeans and cowboy boots for the opera. And then other people are in black tie for the opera. So it just depends. And they love to tailgate before the opera.
Right. And we should mention that, I mean, the biggest names in opera around the world visit that company and perform for you each season.
That is correct. They come from all over the world, and they do the opera performs five different shows each season, and one show is always a new show that's never been performed before. You can come in the month of August, for example, and be here for the entire week and see all five shows.
Right, and that opera season starts in July, though.
Starts in July, and it actually premieres the late June, and it runs July and August.
Great. And just to go back before we hop over to performing arts, you were talking about the visual arts. I mean, I think Canyon Road is, of course, synonymous with great art. And on Canyon Road, you can see a really, because I lived for the entire month very near there, I walked it a lot with my dog. I mean, obviously, you can add as many zeros as you want, and you can also get, you know, a piece of art that's $100 or less. But that's not the only art that's here in Santa Fe, or the only kind of
focal point areas where
art. No, it's not. Canyon Road was just named one of the most historic streets in America, and they have taken all of the old adobe homes and turned those into galleries, and there's quite a concentration of art galleries along Canyon Road. But downtown, there's the East West Palace Arts District, right, and they have a variety of different arts there, everything from jewelry making to paintings, to sculptures, to very contemporary art. And then the new and emerging Rail Yard District is where you're seeing a lot of the contemporary galleries going in.
Yeah.
And people who are interested in contemporary art would definitely want to check out the Rail Yard. Now, Santa Fe has had a long reputation of being associated with representational art and with cowboy and Indian art.
Right.
And that is not the case anymore. You're seeing more and more of these really upscale contemporary galleries that are coming in. And some major art shows around the country have started to take notice of that.
Oh, wow.
For example, SOFA, your folks in Chicago are familiar with SOFA.
Absolutely.
SOFA Chicago, SOFA New York, and SOFA Santa Fe.
Right.
Those are the three shows, and SOFA's been here. This will be their third year of coming to Santa Fe, and successful shows every year.
It's a fantastic show, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, we love it in Chicago. And also, you very much do keep alive and well the historical traditions of local Native artists as well, and those are able to be sold right at the Governor's Plaza and right there on the street.
Yes. All of the artists that you see along the portal there at the plaza, they're all jewelry. They all either have to be the artist or they have to be a family member of the artist.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can get into that position and sell Native arts along the plaza, which is...
And they represent all the different nations, which I think is so wonderful.
Yes, they
do. They're so proud of their heritage as you walk along and look at their jewelry on their blankets and talk to the people. It feels so personal.
It is a very personal experience, and that's what we say about shopping for art in Santa Fe in general. It's a very intimate experience,
mm-hmm.
unlike, getting in a cab and going from one gallery to the next in one of the larger cities. Here you walk from gallery to gallery, and I had a friend visiting from the East Coast, and she was walking up Canyon Road to the galleries, and the one thing she noticed was that every gallery she walked in, she was offered a bottle of water or a glass of water. Because
it is a little dry.
Not only is it dry, it's the
altitude
at 7,000 feet.
You
know, it takes people some getting used to, but it's that type of graciousness of the gallery owners to offer a bottle of water as an example.
Right.
And take the time to talk one-on-one with the person coming in the door, whether they're going to buy or not.
Right. Well, and the marriage of kind of through the history of Spanish and Mexican culture is so rich here. And so I would imagine that Justin, in starting a flamenco theater company, you as well are trying to preserve a historical part of that culture and also take it to the next level. And what is it? How is it relevant today? Tell me about starting the Juan City Flamenco Theater Company and what you all do.
Well, Santa Fe is probably the number one place in the United States where flamenco thrives. New Mexico as well. But in Santa Fe, there has been a tradition of summer seasons that go along with the opera, the chamber music festivals, the markets, where flamenco is presented for 8 to 11 weeks every summer.
Wow.
So this summer season, we have an 8.5-week program that we run 6 nights a week in a cabaret-style theater up in a hotel at the Lodge at Santa Fe. This company began as a result of Maria Benitez, who was the one who put flamenco on the map here in New Mexico and most possibly in the United States with other great flamenco artists. And she chose Juan City, who was a principal dancer for her company for several years, she chose him as her successor to continue the tradition of summer seasons in Santa Fe with his own company. And we hire professional flamenco artists from Spain.
Oh,
and
wow.
We also utilize professional dancers from the United States, some of them American, some of them Spaniards who live here, who were born into the flamenco tradition. And Juan City's work, he is very much innovative as well as traditional in his approach. And we do combine non-traditional instrumentation We used to be just the singer and then the guitar. And then various other...
And this percussive sound, obviously.
Which came from Peru, the cajon, box drum. So flamenco has this development, even from the guajiras from Cuba. The manton, the shawl they wear, is called Manton de Manila, which actually is when the Chinese were in the Philippines and the Spaniards were in the Philippines. They brought that over, so it's just this amalgam of culture from the gypsies who came from India to the Arabic influence in Spain to the Andalusian culture in southern Spain and during the Inquisition, that amalgam. And today it's come into a theater setting, which Juan Siri, as the artistic director for his company, really creates a great show.
It's all kinds of sexy. It's all kinds of sensual and sexy, let me tell you.
So
you want to spice up your night, have a nice dinner, some good wine, and go see some flamenco dancing, is what I would think.
Exactly. And so this is one of the top companies in the United States today. There are some in New York. And so we're very honored to be able to continue this tradition here in Santa Fe and to be a part of the major performing arts here.
And dance is a really big part of this culture, in all the cultures that are kind of rooted in Santa Fe, aren't they? I mean, is it because you think, I mean, I just feel like the area here has such a rhythm, even in its stillness. Do you think that's true?
That's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But yes, I do think, you know, we are tricultural here.
Right.
So one can witness the feast days of the Native Americans or the Pueblos.
Mm-hmm.
One can, you know, find plenty of salsa and tango, you know, with the Hispanic culture and flamenco. And also there's the ballet for...
Yeah, the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, that is obviously got to be another real hallmark. I'm hearing now about the flamenco, world-class flamenco, world-class opera, world-class art, and then you have this ballet company.
The Aspen Santa Fe Ballet is shared between the two cities and travels.
What a brilliant idea.
Yes.
You know, when you have communities, it's so hard, the world of dance, you know, to keep it alive and vibrant in all of its forms. But what a brilliant idea to take two cities of kind of good big size, but not a New York or a Chicago size, that and to sustain that.
Exactly. And we, you know, we have dancers from New York who come and participate in the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
And they come to Chicago.
And they
We've
come
had
to Chicago,
them many
exactly.
times too.
And you know, you add to the ballet, then you have the Chamber Music Festival, which happens every summer, which it's probably 300 to 400 seats a night are sold, and they perform 3 to 4 nights a week during the summer season. So people that come for the opera will also do the Chamber Music Festival. Then you have groups here such as Concordia de Santa Fe, which is a wind ensemble which performs. You have a small orchestra that performs here. So there's the performing arts, you know, from dance to music to all types of music, actually.
Yep.
I think is really what sets Santa Fe apart, that you can come and do so much in such a short amount of time.
Well, let me tell you, there is a lot to do, and I really recommend people come. And on our show notes, I'm going to give you a lot of information on how to get in touch with SantaFe.org and start planning your trip to Santa Fe and all of the wonderful arts and culture things that you would like to do. We will also have the Flamenco Theater Company, the Juan Siri Flamenco Theater Company, linked in our show notes as well, so you can see about their upcoming season in case you happen to be here for their 2011 summer season. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this podcast about Santa Fe, one of my favorite places in the United States to visit. And coming up in a couple of weeks, I will be telling you how you might be able to spend the second 50 years of your life in Santa Fe at a wonderful community, especially for our GLBT community. They have a vision for us, and it includes a wonderful, wonderful rainbow world out in the land of enchantment. So that show coming up in just a couple of shows. Hope you have a great week. Take care. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host.
Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast. Queer and now.